I know what you speak of.
Me and Katie are going to want to say
something. Oh, good. See?
Get a lot of unusual, well, not unusual, just a lot of interesting kids.
Yeah. I bet. Scott's an electrician for the summer, helping out his dad. Is that shocking to anyone? Jokes. I hate to be negative. It's horrible.
As long as you're positive.
Oh, yeah.
He walked in, he goes, my rod and my staff, they come for me.
Yes. Goodness. Okay, this is taking just a little bit of time here. So let's pray. Oh, there it is. I know. I tried fixing the keynote thing, the keystroke. It's just not happening. But, oh, well. If you could just kind of sit like that, you'd be fine. Let's pray. We'll get into it. Matthew 5:4. What is this whole gospel morning thing? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all the fun we can have. We pray for those who are in our midst and sick. We ask that you'd heal them. Thank you for just the opportunity to gather around your word. We ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit would speak through the reading and proclamation of the gospel. Change us. We ask the Holy Spirit to do this. In his name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to show you just some sad things. These are just sad. Just sad. What makes you sad? That's just the question. We're talking about Matthew 5:4. It says this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And John, there's your Bible. Thank you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What makes you sad? Here's some sad stuff. That's just a baby hanging in a swing. Oh, that's sad. Look at that. Okay, that lady was promised a new car by her business. So she sold the most whatever, and it was a toy Yoda. They said, they blindfolded her and said, here's your new car. It's a toy Yoda from Star Wars. So she sued him. That's sad. That's sad.
Wow.
That's kind of sad. He got out.
I can't figure it out now. If
he showed
me a baby otter,
oh,
what is that?
That's a
steal. He's a steal. What is that? He has a knife.
It's a steal.
He's don't look at me.
Okay, our problem is we get sad at the wrong things. What do I mean by that? What do I mean? Let me start out by asking a simple question. What is that thing that usually makes you sad? In our text today, Jesus tells us that there's a particular kind of sadness that people who are of the kingdom of God have. There's a particular kind of sadness you're supposed to have. The Christian life isn't all rainbows and lollipops, and that's one characteristic of the Christian life, but our problem is we're sad at the wrong things, all the wrong things. For example, what do I mean? Well, forgive the football analogy. It's not really an analogy, it's an example. A few years ago, back when Carolina was good, I was the guy who got up there and did the prayer of confession, right? The prayer of confession of sin. And I'm just confessing this to you. Self-righteousness just coming out. I got up there and I thought, ooh, you know, it'd be a good line. Because my team won that year. One of the rare ones. And so I got there and said, we'll mourn over our team that just lost, but we won't mourn over our sin. And I heard somebody do the grunt thing, the Reformed grunt, during the prayer. And I thought, well, yeah, that's some truth. We'll get sad over a team that lost, but we won't be sad over our sin. Well, the thing is, my team won that year. That was the weekend of the game. So the next year, that didn't happen. And I thought, well, the tables are turned. This is kind of silly to be, just not in a good mood over a silly little game. What makes you sad? What makes you sad? It's kind of hard. What do you mourn over? There are some serious things to mourn over for sure. This is not a call to minimize things in your life or anything like that. But if we're all honest, our mourning, our sadness will tell on us. Jesus says here that the people in his kingdom have a particular kind of sadness. And it's not your beloved Gamecocks lost. So what are we sad about? Number one, we're sad about our sin. We don't just mourn over the fact that we sin in some general way. Like, oh, I'm broken. I don't operate as I should. That's not quite it. You have particular sins that you're sad about. Anybody can say, hey, I'm a broken person who doesn't do things they should do. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true. But how about particular ones? How about those times, I think everybody in here knows what I'm talking about, where you go, why am I? Why do I do that? Why do I act so judgmental sometimes toward people? Why am I getting like jealous or whatever you want to call it? I hate the fact that I'm so selfish sometimes. I hate the fact that I'm so judgmental sometimes. Why am I like this? That's part of it. That's what I'm talking about. You mourn over it because it's that word sin. It's not a mistake. It's not a whoopsie. Not a little bad thing you just did that you feel bad about. It's sin. That's what you mourn over, your own sin. It's more personal. It's against someone who's worthy of love and respect. Let me just tell you a little story real quick. So everybody, most of the people in here probably have a really good relationship with your grandfather, a grandfather, or a grandfather figure. Mine was Pawpaw. And here, this has everything to do with what I'm talking about. Pawpaw. Pawpaw lived in York, South Carolina. Great guy. Well, he's that kind of grandfather who said, on purpose, when I was a kid, hey, we can go to get a burger from a restaurant, or I can make you one. Which one you want to do? And I said, oh, I mean, I'm from Winsboro. It's a huge deal to go to a restaurant. So I said, oh, let's go somewhere. And he goes, you sure? Yeah, let's just go to the market. So he made up the best burger ever. I said, now what do you think? And oh, Papa, you make the best burger. He's that kind of grandfather. The kind who would be like, oh, you got a quarter behind here. That guy. Well, as I grew up, they had a next-door neighbor who was my age. And this next-door neighbor did not have much parental involvement. He had a bunch of parties. And so I'm 15 or 16, and I think, well, I really like acceptance. I really like people liking me. I think I'll go over here. And he made it pretty plain, you don't want to go over there. But I did. I didn't partake of anything, but I came back smelling like you'd just been to a party. Just smoke and all that other stuff. And I remember him waiting up for me. And sitting down, there he is in his recliner, and I sit down right beside him, and I was like, oh, man, he waited up for me. And there was tension in the air, first time ever with Pawpaw. And I can't tell you the depth of woe of, I just disappointed Pawpaw. This guy who's done nothing but good for me. And here I have, I've just done the opposite of what he wanted me to do, and he's kind of upset with me right now. That's the definition we're getting at. The God who has done nothing but provided for our needs, our sin need, and all kinds of over and above. And yet we constantly say, you know, I like your rules and all, but I'm going to do it my own way. That's gospel warning, our own sin. Again and again, we do things he's made clear he would not have us do, but we still say, I'm going to strike out on my own. Thank you, though. That's what the kingdom of God has in it. People who are sad that they have gone against the wishes of an awesome God. Now, you're sad. Here's another little point. Not just over the consequences of the sin, but sin itself. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Here's the deal. You can be sad about consequences. Can you be sad over the relationship that's been broken? Not only are you bummed about going against an awesome God who loves you so much, but you hate the sin. It's not the consequences. It's the sin you hate. It's the actual act. It's not just getting busted, it's the thing. So before becoming a believer, I'll just be honest with you. You know what kept me good? I wanted people in the church to respect my dad. He was a pastor, and I knew that if I was the little guy out there just doing all crazy things, they would not respect my dad. So that's what kept me good. My dad was a preacher. What else kept me good? I still wanted to drive. I knew if I got busted, he'd take my license. Those are consequences. Those were the consequences I was mourning over. So when I did break the law, rule, or whatever it was at home, I was sad, but I was sad because I didn't have my license. So there's a difference. Once saved, though, the motivation for behaving changes. It wasn't consequences that kept me good. It was, man, I hate this sin. Why do I do this? God is so good. Why am I still doing this? Why do I want to sneak out at night and do all this other stupid stuff? So, in fact, what's weird is sin kind of became personified. It became a person who kind of started whispering, don't you want to do this? Don't you want to? No one's going to find out. You're fine. I grew to start hating that. And I knew the Holy Spirit was at work when I started hating that. Be quiet. Be quiet. So anyway, number two, why else do we mourn? We don't just mourn for the sin in us. We mourn because of the sin around us. The sins around us. People in the kingdom of God mourn at what sin has done to the universe. I sometimes wonder, of all the living creatures, the one animal God allowed to be the incarnate picture of evil was the serpent. That's the nature of what sin does. It's poison that blows everything up. Poison that blows everything up. Once it entered the picture, it ripped everything apart. So there would be no sickness, there would be no disease, there would be no death, there would be nothing like that if it weren't for sin. And it's done a number to the world around us. Within one chapter, you have a brother murdering another brother of the Bible. That's crazy. Sin enters, and then one chapter later, you have a brother killing his brother. So you mourn over that. I'm moving it down to us right here in 2016. Part of being a gospel mourner is that you hate looking around and seeing the effects of sin all around you. You grieve about how families are broken apart and people are fighting addictions. It just ruins everyone, and you hate that. Nothing operates as it should. So, blessed are the mourners. Yes, the sin in me, the sin outside of me. That's what we're talking about. You should have a healthy sense of grief about that. Notice, though, and there's a reason for this picture. Notice, though, that it's not judgmental stuff I'm talking about necessarily. I'm not saying you want to stand in judgment against people who sin differently than you do. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say you're grieving for the sin around you, it doesn't mean that you like turn on the TV and see this group of people who don't behave as you do, and you go, those nasty, vile people, I can't stand them. No, you can't stand what sin's done to them. It's blinded them. So anyway, you look out and you see people on their search for happiness, and this search leaves a wake of destruction behind it. People just looking to feel that thing, and man, it just leaves a wreckage behind them. There's a story about a missionary who was involved with the people of Alaska. And the natives of the land, I guess you, I don't know if it's politically correct to say Eskimo, but though that people group, I guess it is. I don't know. I need to get up on my PC stuff. Alcoholism ravaged this people group. Ravaged them. So there's this missionary who would host groups for like a week or something like that, but he stayed there. And every now and then a week, you know, group would come. And this guy would always get his coffee in the morning, and he'd look out the window. And usually he had his Bible out, and there'd be a tear, a couple of tears running down his cheek, and he'd turn around. And other than that, he was a normal, like, that was just kind of different for him. So somebody finally was like, hey, what's all that about? And all he could say is, they're walking into a Christless eternity. They're walking into a Christless eternity. God opened up their heart. Show them Jesus. Show them their sin. And that's all he was doing. And that kind of hits home because it's like, man, am I grieved about the people around me who don't know Christ? Am I there? I wish I was. I wish I was. All he said was, they're not saved. They're not saved. Brothers and sisters in here, have you reached the point with people you know, that point? Does it really bother you that people all around you are digging wells that have a hole in them? Such as, that's what Jeremiah says, you're looking for something to fill you, and it's just causing destruction, it's not filling. So anyway, they're looking for life in places that they're never designed to give them life. So where's their hope in this mourning? We've talked about sin inside of us. That's what we mourn about, the sin outside of us. We mourn about what it does to people. So where's the hope in that? Because it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Where is that? Our hope comes from the last scene in the Gospels. A friend of Jesus has just died. And think about this for a second. Let's say you built this whole place, you kept it running. Let's just assume that. You built this whole place, you kept it running, the entire universe. How would you choose to come and visit? Would you just experience the good in return? just do the fun stuff, and then you just go back? If you built this whole place? Well, Jesus does a little something else. He entered into being a human being as part of the creation. He knew what it was like to lose a friend, and he wept. God Almighty came to earth as a human being, and he wept because he experienced grief. He experienced the effects of the fall of sin. Why? Because he loved sinners. Not only did he weep, he gave up his own life. Have you ever thought about that? We always hear this story about Lazarus, and you know, it's a great story, but just think about that for a second. The God of the universe came down and experienced grief over death. The very thing he came to beat up. So, he loves sinners. Not only does he weep, he gave up his life. He saw you and me and all the people throughout the ages, the people of God, and said, I will so identify with you that on the cross, I'm losing my life. It's actually you. And when I'm losing my life, it's actually you losing. Paul says this, I was crucified. How can a man writing with a pen say, I have been crucified with Christ? Jesus so identifies with us that he says, my death is going to count for yours. My life is going to count for yours. So when God the Father looks down, he sees me in my perfect righteousness instead of you and your sin. That's the hope. Because all this stuff, the effects of the sin and all that other stuff that does to relationships, it's going to be done away with one day. Going to be done away with. So anyway, a couple things to think about. We weep, but we don't weep like people who don't have hope. We know that the curse will end. You ever notice this? Every little girl's princess book ends with what? Happily ever after. Continues on and on. And that's really going to be us. So yes, we are mourning over the fact that we still sin. And that's kind of funny that all the guys answered that. But anyway, we still sin. There's still sin around us. But ultimately, when you look at eternity, and this life being just a quick second, you're going to experience far, 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 far more life in an uncursed environment. So there's the hope. So there will be a day when there's nothing to mourn over, and that is our hope. Let's pray, and I don't know. I mean, we're still early. We do have plenty of cookies. I went big time on y'all. I bought Oreo brand, so you're welcome. And thin mint kind. That's right. That's worth a dab. That's right, John. That's worth a dab. Worth a dab. I don't know if that was by accident or not. You might have been telling you to do it. Okay. All right. Worth a dab. So for like 10, I don't know. We have, I know that's wishful thinking, but let's just hang out. We've got Gaga and stuff like that. So let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you so much that to be part of your kingdom, we must mourn. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cause, stir, do something in us to where we absolutely hate sin. We hate the sin that is in us. We hate the sin that is outside of us and what it does to both us and the world around us. But Lord, we're people who mourn, but we don't mourn without hope. Our hope is Christ. Our hope is that the ultimate reality is this. One day, we will live forever in a world that does not have sickness, disease, death, anything like that, because you've broken the chains of that. So, Lord, be with us as we meet and just gather together for a few minutes. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would spur us to conversations that will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.